Grace and peace to you from the crucified Christ, whose blood sets us free to be people of God. Amen. This sermon series is unusual in that it's dedicated to preparing for death. And I know that must sound a little morbid as a topic for a midweek series, and yet there's good reason for facing our own mortality. And we will see that through these meditations designed for Lent. Pondering death and preparing for the eventuality of our own death is actually an invaluable way to learn how to live by faith. For nothing will test your faith in Christ and your hope in the resurrection as much as death. The Bible tells us that the devil would like nothing better than to enslave us to the fear of death throughout our entire lifetime. However, Jesus has set us free from the need to fear death. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and his own resurrection becomes the guarantee of our resurrection and of our life beyond this life. Christ's victory over sin and death gives us the confidence that you and I will one day need in order to face death. And let's face it, death is a bully. And as intimidating as it can be to face down a bully, using the courage of faith that Christ supplies, we must stand our ground against death. Again, focusing on the inevitability of death sounds strange, but really only strange and out of place to a generation like ours that lives in such absolute denial of death. Our generation uses every means possible to evade death, either by pretending that it simply doesn't exist, or that death is so far off that it needn't concern us right now. Our culture worships youthfulness, which serves very well as a distraction from death. And most of those who live in our culture, and we include ourselves, we obsess on ways to stay young, or at least to look young, through diet and exercise, fitness, health remedies, and cosmetic beauty aids. This, my friends, is done as a way of forestalling the unavoidable reality that all people eventually grow old and die. The danger is that when we are healthy and youthful and strong, that we will rely on these things rather than on God, who gives us life. Often it's only after we lose our health or our youth or our strength, the things that we idolize, that we are ready to rely on God, who alone is able to raise the dead. Our world conveniently forgets that one day we will all die. Christians, however, can have a much more realistic and sober appraisal to their own mortality. As Christians, we know that we must first put off this mortal life, since flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. As Christians, we are very cognizant of the fact that life is fragile and brief. On this Ash Wednesday, you came forward for the imposition of ashes. And by this act, you confessed that death is the destiny of us all because all have sinned. By these words, you are dust, and to dust you will return. In Christian fashion, we humbly acknowledged that since the wages of sin is death, death is what we deserve. And when death does come, The world tries to convince itself that death is natural, nothing to be feared. The world would have you believe that death is just part of the great circle of life. The world's take on death is that it is just part of the life cycle. But the Bible reminds us that death is not natural, and that death is not our friend. Death instead is the very unnatural result of sin. The severing of the body from the soul at death was never supposed to have happened. And all of our human instincts tell us this, that we were not made to die. This is why humans dread death as they do, because we all sense that death is a punishment from God as a result of the very serious consequences of sin. It is for this reason that death will prove to be the greatest challenge and test to your faith. For while death implies punishment, faith has called us to believe that Jesus took our punishment, the punishment that we deserve, upon himself as he suffered upon the cross in our place. And by this vicarious action of his suffering in our place, faith calls us no longer to view death as punishment for our past life, but the portal to our new life with Christ. If we believe in Jesus, then we believe that he has completely paid for our sins, that he has already obtained peace with God on our behalf, and that he has purchased and won heaven for us as a free gift. And so God would ask us to believe, even when we are dying, that we are going to live and reign forever with our Lord Jesus in paradise. Those who trust in Jesus believe that by his resurrection, he has defeated death. He has become victorious over the grave. In Revelation, we hear he has the keys of death and hell. Therefore, while the world's only defense against death is to deny death, as Christians, we must learn by faith to defy death. For everything that you and I are going to experience at the moment of death is going to seem to challenge everything that Christ has promised in our baptism. And yet Christ calls us as the baptized to believe that we have eternal life with Christ, even when all we feel and experience in and around us is, in fact, death. Now, preparing for death, if you read my newsletter article about this, is a lost art. It's a lost part of Christian faith and life. It used to be that Christians thought a lot about these things. It used to be that Christians would pray that God would give them faith in their final hour and peace at the last. Christians in former times often would ask God to make them faithful unto death, that they might receive the crown of eternal life. My fear is that today's Christian is ill prepared for death. Many of us, unfortunately, even though we are Christians, live like the world lives. And so we give little thought to death until death is upon us. Because some Christians have never rehearsed for death, when death does come upon them, they don't know how to respond in faith. For they have never learned how to counter all the fears that are associated with death by clinging to and claiming the promises that are ours in Christ. One of the very real fears that can trouble Christians who are close to death is this thought: Perhaps I am not a true Christian if I fear death. Christians sometimes fear that they are without faith because they've either told themselves or they've been told that Christians are not supposed to fear death. And my friends, this simply is not true. Some Christians fear death more than others, but fearing death more or less than others means nothing. For while God does give Christians heroic faith to face their own death, Christians often continue to fear certain aspects of dying. Even if we have been given faith so that we will stand in God's sight unashamed and unafraid through Jesus' blood and righteousness, even so, true believers have some dread or fear over the process of dying. And the unknown aspects of death, the fear of the unknown, can also generate a level of anxiety and fearful anticipation within Christians without calling our faith into question. Throughout this Lenten series, we will take a look at some of the many fears surrounding death, the ones that often trouble and disturb Christians, although they are often not talked about. And we will learn how best to combat these fears with faith. For the gospel offers sinners great comfort and consolation in the face of death. One fear that some Christians face regarding death is the fear of thinking you're a believer and then finding out at the final judgment that you're not among the elect. What a horrendous thought. Here's how the fear expresses itself. A believer begins to think, what if I'm only fooling myself into thinking I'm a Christian? What if I die only to find out that I'm around and among the goats instead of the sheep? What if Christ were to ever say to me, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels? As scary and as disquieting as that thought is, it is actually not a bad fear for Christians to have. For by this fear, the Holy Spirit gives us an opportunity to properly reflect upon the authenticity of our faith while there is still time to repent if our faith is not genuine. The Bible says that we should frequently examine ourselves to see whether or not we truly are of the faith. Those who believe that Jesus is both their God and Savior, however, need never fear that somehow, arbitrarily, they might get placed among the goats. Your God is faithful. Your God knows you are the sheep of his pasture. He knows that Christ is your good shepherd already in this life, long before that day when he separates the sheep and the goats. Another fear that we may have as we listen to today's gospel comes from a misreading of this gospel. Misunderstanding this text may lead some of us to ask in total despair, have I done enough good in my life to be counted among the sheep who are going to inherit eternal life? For you see, it is not unlike the devil to strategically terrify Christians by tempting them with such thoughts in their last hour just before they die. But this is not what Jesus is saying in Matthew's gospel. Jesus is certainly not saying that we are saved by the performance of good works. Sheep do not become sheep by acting like sheep. Sheep only act like sheep because they are sheep. And in a similar way, those who are saved are not saved by feeding the hungry, by welcoming the stranger, by clothing the naked, or by visiting those who are sick and in prison, because Christians don't perform works of love in order to be saved. But Christians who are already saved by trusting in the work of Christ simply do such works of love because that is what Christians do. We need not fear that we are God's elect because we elect to do good works. We are God's elect simply because God made that merciful choice to save us by His grace. This is evident in Matthew's gospel when Jesus invites the sheep to enter into heaven. Jesus says, "Come, those of you who are blessed by my Father, for he has chosen you before the foundation of the world to inherit the kingdom." Notice how Jesus says that we are God's sheep, that we are to inherit heaven, not because of the works that we have done, but simply by God's gracious choice to save us. And notice how God made his choice to save us, made his choice for us to be his sheep before the foundation of the world. So long before we were ever born or before we could do any good work. My friends, this is proof that the Lord did not choose to save you because you choose to do good works, but quite the reverse. You choose to do good works like those described in Matthew 25 because God chose to love you in Christ and to save you without your works. And in that choice to make you his people, God has made us also a people who show kindness to others through works done in love. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. And since our love for God is quite imperfect, there will be some residual fear of death that will always be found in us. It is only God's perfect love for us, demonstrated in His Son, spelled out for us in the gospel, that can soothe and silence our fears, including all of those fears surrounding death. And yet, we must first acknowledge, as we have done today, you are dust, and to dust you will return, so that we can truly rejoice in the Easter promise, He is risen. He is risen indeed. For the two go together. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.